Hey, it's Dan here. If you want to hear this episode of the Backchat podcast without ads and get extra content that no one else gets, head to backchatstudios.com.au where you can sign up as a patron and access all of our bloody good merch.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A big thank you to RAC Arena and the West Coast Fever for making this week's episode of Backchat possible. Sunday Ariang and Fran Williams. Sunday, the first African-born netballer to play for Australia. She won Commonwealth Games gold, World Cup gold, and Fran Williams, the captain of the English Roses. These girls are great netballers in their own right, but they're also defenders. This is a great chat, some great energy from the girls, some good humour, but some great insight. Both of their backgrounds are amazing. Sunday from war-torn Ethiopia, and Fran all the way from England as well. It's a ripping podcast. If you don't like netball, that's okay. This will still be interesting. Trust me, I loved it as well. All West Coast Fever games will take place at RAC Arena in 2024. So make sure for fixtures and to buy tickets, jumping on racarena.com.au. Enjoy. Oh, wow. It's incredible timing. The girls from the West Coast Fever join us on Backchat Sunday. Fran, welcome.
Thanks for having
me. Yeah, hello.
I'm super excited for this next, what is it, hour or so?
Good. Yeah, you're here for 7 hours, so hopefully you're hydrated. Girls, appreciate you coming in. We've got Sunday Ariang. Got that right?
That is correct. Yep.
And Fran Williams. So the girls from the West Coast Fever. All games this year at RAC Arena. So I'm excited. We're going to come down to some games this year, and we thought we'd get you both in to have a bit of a chat about the upcoming season, but to be honest, about your journeys getting here. You both got pretty cool stories, I think, certainly, you know, from a long way back. And overall, I asked for defenders as well. So you're both defenders, right?
Yes. We've heard about your defensive background as well.
Right. So, yeah. So I'll start with this one for you, and then I'll ask this, the question we ask all guests on the show. Forwards, they sell memberships, right? This is in the AFL terms, right? And I think it's equivalent to netball. Forwards sell memberships. Everyone comes to watch the goals, right? Everyone comes to watch the ball going in the net, goal going through the goals. Mids, the center players, they sign sponsorships. That's where the money is, right? But backs win premierships, right? That's where championships are won in the back line.
100%.
Are we correct? Is this cross code?
Yeah. Very correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. I think that's the same. The forwards as well. Like everyone calls shooters princesses, I think. I've never been in a team where that's not the case.
Right.
But, you know, I feel like as defenders, give them all the love they need if they're going to score the goals. Like, boost them up, make them feel on top of the world. But we'll do the gritty stuff at the back.
We'll do the stuff that is required to win games.
Yeah.
So we're all on the same page. Very nice. Backchat, of course, powered by Paywise in season 2024. A reminder, all West Coast Fever home games taking place at RAC Arena. Is it the first time this year? We've been doing that for a while, right?
Yeah, we've been doing it for a couple of years now.
Great. So all games will be there this year in 2024. For fixtures and to purchase tickets, please visit racarena.com.au. Now, girls, we're going to get into the season in a little bit, but I've got to ask you both a question and you both get a chance to answer it. It's the same question we ask every guest that's ever on Backchat, okay? We know you're both good at netball, both represented your country in a sport, which says a lot about the people on this podcast. Me, certainly, I've never done that. And it's impressive. You can both play netball. Congratulations. But I want to say from the start. I don't care, just for now. I want to know your greatest sporting achievement, not on the netball court. Right? Caps, national caps, that's all good. That's fine. What can you do away from netball? We want to know. My co-host Dan, who joins us most of the time, no room on the couch for Dan today, unfortunately. So Dan has taken 5 for 16 in a cricket match as an under 12. I was a state under nines hurdle champion, 80 meter champion. Also won the flags in beach flags in about under 10, state champion as well. I was a footballer, but I can do other things. What can you girls do? Tell us your greatest sporting achievement, not on the netball court. I've given you some time to think there as well. Fran, you're going
first. To be honest, mine, I think about mine a fair bit, so right. I know what I'm going for here.
Right.
Primary school level, so what, 10, 11, perfect. Back home in
love
the UK.
It, love it.
Swimming gala. And there was this girl in both my races. It was the freestyle. I was doing the freestyle and then the individual medley. And there was a girl who was always better than me from another school, but she was at my swim club, but she was always ahead of me at swim club.
What was her name? You know her name.
Yeah, her name was Abby. And we're lining up. You're on the blocks. There's something about swimming. It's so different because it's individual sport. Your feeling is so intense.
Yes.
It's all on you. And she ended up winning in both of the races. However, she got disqualified in both races because she didn't do her turns properly. Like, you know, in freestyle, you've got a touch with one hand and she touched with two hands, and then something as well on a tumble turn, she'd not come up in time. And so she ended up getting disqualified in both races and I ended up winning in both. I'm 10, 11, getting to stand on top of a podium. It felt great. Care how it won.
That is
I won.
Story, friend.
Did you get a gold medal? Or
yeah, get two gold medals.
Oh, that
is
like brilliant.
Yeah, at that age, I was well chuffed.
Sunday, what's
mine?
It can be as simple as, like, it doesn't, like, the whole point is it can be, I don't know, you can dunk a basketball. I don't know.
Okay, I've got one. So in high school, we used to have this award, which was like best sports player of the year when you would go to graduate.
Right.
I won that, but I did win it. I also had to share it with another athlete, which wasn't fair, but we had to share it because we used to do swimming carnivals and I'm not a big swimmer. So like I would go to the carnival, but I wouldn't like participate in all the swimming races or anything. I would just show up just to support.
Yes.
And because I didn't participate in swimming races, I had to share that award with someone who participated.
Wow.
Yeah.
But you still won. So you must've been amazing.
Yeah, take it.
Yeah.
Also, that award, Nick Natanui won that when he was at our school as well. So I'll take it.
Very good.
Yeah.
I think you've done it better than him, if I'm going to be honest.
Thank you.
Yeah, very well done. Well done, girls. Good start. What about this one? I don't know if it'll roll in. We're powered by Paywise here on Backchat, and we sometimes like to ask you about your first car. Do you girls have a first car, and what was it? And can you remember it?
Yeah, I had a first car. I just got handed down my parents' family car. So brilliant. I had this big 7-seater car on my red piece.
Well, your family mover.
Yeah, the family car pretty much. But yeah,
that's funny. That's a big car to be learning to drive it. That's hard.
What color? Yeah. What color was it?
It was silver.
Yes.
It was a Mitsubishi Pajero.
Unreal.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Like it.
So was just driving that big
Fred. Mine is a bit more boring. It's just a Volkswagen Polo.
Colour?
Yeah, grey.
Great. That is grey. Boring.
Yeah, really boring, actually.
Very boring.
But a lovely car to drive. You know, you just have fond memories of that first car, don't you?
Yeah, but correct.
A Polo?
A Polo? You have a Polo here? It's like smaller than a Golf.
Okay.
You guys don't really do European cars, though, over here, do
No,
you?
Correct.
No,
yeah.
So that's a good little segue over here. I'd love to hear both your stories about how you came to be sitting here in Perth. You've both got very different stories. Who wants to go first? How did you get to Perth? Like, how are we here?
Yeah, well, I've actually only 8-9 weeks in Perth. First time on the West Coast. Been to the East a lot with netball and international fixtures. But, I'm loving it so far. I guess for myself, started playing when I was about 10 or 11 in that last year of primary school, and made my way into a national squad and then been playing for England since I was 20. I got my first cap and I went to the World Cup this last summer, which was very exciting. And it was kind of this summer just gone that Dan and Gordy, Sue Gordian, reached out about me coming and playing for West Coast Fever. And I think for myself back at home these last few years. I've been playing in our Super League at home, which is, you know, taught me so much. I've won some premierships back there with teams. So I've learned a lot about winning, but I was ready for a new challenge. And we always look at home at the SSN as the top of the top when it comes to domestic netball leagues. And right. to have the opportunity to come and play here and test myself against the world's best, which is what this league attracts, is such an exciting opportunity and one that I definitely couldn't turn down. And, you know, to call like international rivals now teammates as well, that's exciting. So yeah, I'm loving it so far, but yeah, really ready for this next challenge.
What's your first impression of Perth? Can you remember getting off the plane?
Well, like, I got off the plane in the heat wave. So I got off the plane to 41 degrees. I think I looked when I first got in the car and I was like, is this what Perth is like?
Where did you grow up?
So just west of London. Right. So Reading, yeah.
So what sort of temperature are we talking?
And like I'm obviously just come into Perth summer, but left a UK winter. So it's like the two extremes. So freezing cold. I reckon we were like 2 degrees, 1 degree, but raining a lot and grey. Whereas here, even if it's what you call cold is like 25, isn't it? But what you call cold, but it's still blue sky. Yes. Every day and dry. So,
so you're happy with that?
Very happy. I'm getting used to it now. Like I put a hoodie on the other day because it dropped below like 27 degrees. And I was like, at 25 degrees, like, I think I'll be in the sea all winter here.
Yeah.
On the beach all winter. I can't imagine being ever too cold.
Good move. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to come back to how things are going there and maybe take a little step back as well. But what about you, Sunday? You've been in Perth a bit longer than 9 weeks.
Yes, I have. I've been here for 22 years now.
Yeah, well.
So pretty much my family's journey coming to Australia. We came in 2002. The whole reasoning behind it was pretty much my parents wanting us to get that education, be in a safer place. A lot of the times back in Ethiopia, it wasn't safe for a lot of women. So my parents wanted us to be able to, you know, grow up and not be scared of our surroundings and what might happen at any point in time. So yeah, so we came here in 2002. We first moved to Karina. We had a few like relatives, like parents, second cousins and stuff that were in Australia at the time. So they kind of helped us around and showed us around Australia. And then we were also super lucky that where we lived, there was a like center. You could say it's like a church community as well, but they kind of just took us under their wing and like showed us around Australia, took us to like aquariums. I remember going to the aquarium for the first time and thinking, what is like, what is this? Why is there like things swimming around? Why am I not wet? But like, yeah, took us to aquariums, took us to the zoo, like took us to the beach. And I think so many of the stuff that we did, it was such a like eye-opener because it's, even though I don't remember much about Africa, it's stuff that like my parents never spoke to us about doing. Like my dad didn't get the opportunity to go to the zoo and live a child's life only because he had to go to like university school, really focus on that, and then pretty much start working from a very young age and stuff just to support not only himself but obviously us as kids and my mother, and then also support his parents and siblings as well. So
and when you moved away from Ethiopia, it was in civil war, right?
It was like, in civil war, yeah. It wasn't very safe place.
So these things like going to the zoo and aquarium.
You can't do that, yeah, because it's a bit dangerous out, like, yeah. So,
have you spoke to your mum and dad much about that since, like, yeah, that was 20 so years ago?
Yeah, I have spoken. Growing up, my dad did speak to us quite a bit about it because he was always just like, he would always sit us kids down and be like, I want you guys, whatever you choose, I want you guys to focus on it and go as hard as possible because we didn't come here for you guys to just waste your life. We want you to, whatever you choose, they're like, if you want to be an athlete, that's what you want. If you want to go to uni, that's what you want. But always put 100% in whatever you do. So he always does talk about what life was back in Africa. And my mum also, the stuff that she didn't get that we're able to receive now. Like my mum, she didn't get any education. Like coming to Australia was her first time. Learning how to speak English. So even that, us being able to go to school, learn how to speak English and stuff. And she's she was 20, my mom's pretty young, 22 or something when she first came to Australia. Yeah. And she didn't know a bit of English. So at 22, it was quite hard for her to start learning a new language. So
all these things you're talking about, like going to school and going to aquarium, it's a privilege that.
It's such a privilege. And it's crazy that like to think people back over there don't get that all the time. Mm. And it's something that my parents a big leap to be able to just pick up what they had back in Africa, what they're so comfortable with, and to come to a whole different country and just be like, this is for the kids. Like, we want them to live a safe and happy life. Mm. So, yeah.
Sounds like you'd be pretty grateful to mum and dad.
Yeah.
Given where we are
super
now.
Super grateful for what? Yeah, because where would I have been now if it wasn't for that decision? So.
What about you, Fran, if we can keep on the parents and the family side? Like, I find speaking to athletes and knowing sort of my own story that parents have a lot to do with it, whether it be moving countries, which is pretty extreme. But even, you know, whatever your upbringing is, you know, your parents – You literally don't have an opportunity without.
Yeah, 100%. And like, I know it's cliche to say, but I literally wouldn't be here with the opportunities I've had without them. And it's not even them just providing the opportunities, but also just giving me the belief and support to like pursue it. Because going down that road of I want to be an elite athlete, you have to make sacrifices elsewhere in your life and commit 100% to it. And I guess, yeah, them just giving me the belief that no, we'll back you if this is what you want to do. And it's, you know, it's a slightly different career path to what a lot of my friends were doing or what they were seeing nieces and nephews do. And for them to just be like, own it, take this moment, you only get this opportunity once. And, you know, it's only a finite period. You can go after those kind of goals. They've backed me all the way, even with moving halfway across the world, I guess. And, you know, my mum in particular, the driving she used to do for me back home for training. And also then I guess my siblings as well, because then they gave up that time with my parents when they were maybe more focused on making sure that I was getting from A to B and was ready to go, that like they kind of missed out maybe a little bit on weeknights. So I'm so grateful to all of them for supporting me, and they're still my biggest fans and I miss them every day while I'm here. And hopefully they'll come out and visit.
Have you got any sporting siblings? I know you do, Sunday. But
yeah, my brother's massively into rugby union, which isn't that big over here.
No.
But he's a big rugby player back home. And my sister, she plays netball. She's really into running. Ran a marathon the other day, and that makes me feel very inadequate. Because
ran a marathon the other day, no worries.
I know, and we complain about like doing 30-meter court shuttles, and she's out there running for 26 miles.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Sunday, you've got a sporting family as well.
Yes.
Ruth
is
she's in the squad with you.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It is actually super cool. I think it's something that, as kids, we're always like, one day we'll get to play together. Who knows, like we might be in the same team. And I think before Ruth, I had my older sister, Rose, who was a shooter. So we played in the same team but different ends. So when Ruth came through and she started defending, I was like, this is going to be sick. One day we're actually going to be on court, like bossing each other around, defending together, like just –
bossing each other around the first thing.
Well, me and bossing her around. But she,
yeah, but Ruth can Ruth 100% can, hold her own.
Yeah,
Ruth
she does
will
get
give
a bit
it
lippy
to you.
Here and
yeah,
there.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
a little sibling thing.
Yeah,
right?
yeah, 100%.
And I'm the grown up and I'm like, okay, whatever. Like, I'll do what you want to do instead of arguing back. But no, it's super sick being able to, like, even seeing her in the environment, just seeing how much she's grown in the last, like, what would I say? I think the last 2 years after, like, because she had an injury, ACL injury.
Oh, wow.
And it's taken her 2 years to get back into playing and stuff. But just seeing the growth that I've seen in that 2 years is massive. And even when it comes to like strength stuff in the gym and then stuff on court, and she's learned so much like logistics and stuff that comes with being an elite athlete. So no, it's been such a great journey that we've had in these last 2-3 years. So.
What are your first memories of netball? And I'll ask sort of a progression question around, you know, when does it start becoming an option from a professional point of view? But what are your first memories of netball? Is it as a small kid? Is it like, when do you start playing?
Yeah, so my first memory probably is just looking so tall and long and just lanky compared to all the other kids. I remember playing and just like felt so bad for my goalkeeper back then, but I was a shooter and I was like so much taller than them. So whenever I look back at what I did, like where it started, I just imagine that picture of just this tall, young player. Just, I didn't even know what netball really was. I was just told to catch the ball and shoot under the hoop, and that was all I did. So, that's probably a memory that always sticks with me.
That's good, Fran.
Yeah, I think similar. It's, you know, they see you turn up at your first training session, they'll be like, oh, she'll be a shooter or she'll be a defender with the height on her. And you're kind of a bit clueless at the start. And I remember loads of people used to be like, I'm a Bambi on ice and things like that when you first start playing. And it takes a bit of time to get that kind of conditioning and footwork piece in. But yeah, I think just, I remember really like the team element of it, because I think I'd done a bit of swimming and yeah, it was very individual. Beat Abby in, you know, under 10 swimming race. So I ticked off that. I'd done as most as I was ever going to do in the swimming pool. But I loved the team element of it. And some of the girls from my first under 11s age group, first ever club, are still girls that I speak to now and I'm friends with. So I guess I just really remember how much I loved that environment.
So that that joy and, you know, eventual joy, even if you're both sort of feeling like you're out of place with being too tall or whatever it was, when does that transition from, you know, the fun of netball to like, oh, I could actually do this for a job, like I could play this professionally? Is there like a moment, or is it just kind of, do you just kind of, are you just good at it and then you just progress? Like, do you have different stories there about when you actually feel like you can do this? Like, do you have a moment?
For myself, I would say I would have been around 16 when I actually thought that I could make something out of it. I remember just going through the pathways and stuff and just thinking, oh, this is for fun. Like, I'm really enjoying it. Like, get to play with my friends and stuff. And I don't know, I would have gone to a netball, my first ever live like netball game. They were playing down at, is it HBF?
Oh, yeah.
Arena,
yeah,
down like in
Perry Lakes.
Yeah, I think I went to my first one there, and I was like this could be me in 5 years if I actually put in the effort and actually, like, you know, showed up to training, tried, and everything like that. Because I think as well, something as at that age, I think I was getting away a lot of the time with my athleticism and stuff like that. Like,
you're taller than everyone.
Yeah, I was taller than everyone. Like, I was just an athletic kid that enjoyed playing sports. So I think from that point, I was like, I need to put in more than just my athleticism. I have to come show up to these trainings, get stuff out of it. And yeah, that was probably when I first realized that something could come out of it.
So when you're playing now and you're now representing Australia, have you had the time to think about that? That like you as a teenage girl watching whoever you were watching, like, do you realize that now full circle that's you and girls are watching you?
Yeah, for sure. I think even when you step out on court and you see all those, the people that are around, all the kids that come running up to you and just so happy to see you, I'm like, that was me, and now I can be that role model or show that for some other kid that might be deciding between netball or a basketball or something like that. So it is definitely a full circle moment.
That's pretty cool.
Like, when I think, I'm like, wow, as if this is my life and this is what I'm doing. But yeah.
You probably feel like you're just still playing netball.
Yeah, I do. I just feel like regular old Sunday from Midval, just chilling, you know.
That's good.
Fran's had a few things about Midval.
Hey, Midval's a great place.
Yeah, we're out in the bush, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pretty close to the hills.
What about you, Fran? Like, how does it progress from, you know, loving it as a kid to, oh, wow, I can play professionally here?
Yeah. Well, I think for me back like at home, because Australia's always kind of been leading the way in terms of netball becoming professional, whereas we've been a few years behind. I think that realization kind of happened as I was making my way through the pathway, and opportunities have come about whilst I've been within the program and the setup, which is a really exciting place to be, because I'm watching players that have gone before me kind of pave the way, essentially. So if I think of people like Jeeva Mentor, for example, her deciding, and Sonia McCloma, who now coaches me in England environment, and, you know, Jeeva, who I've had the opportunity to play with, they were the players that like took a leap and came and played in the league over here and showed, no, I'm going to make a career for myself as a netballer and seek out opportunities where I can play professionally, where that's not always been the opportunity at home. And I guess like that's an exciting place to be, that I'm coming into the sport whilst it's really growing at home and it's becoming bigger and bigger, and it's like the most participated female sport at home, which is a really exciting place. But, you know, we want to translate all of that into our elite game and get our elite game fully professional at home.
Yeah.
You know, the opportunities to represent my country and be on a full-time funded program at home with the England Roses, that's happened whilst I've been within the setup. So I guess for me, it's just kind of all opportunities have come about there and then, rather than being able to see it really clearly from the start. But I'm just, guess we're just grabbing everything we get back at home and running with it. And it's a really exciting place to be, because there's still so much more to come, I think.
Well, it's a really great point that, you know, across other sports, it's like, you know, I'll just use my own AFL for 30 years in the men's game. so not the AFLW, but the men's game, it's like, okay, if you train hard, you can get onto a list, you can make a wage, you can probably play for 15 years and you make a good income. That hasn't always been the case with netball. Like Nat Medhurst was on you know, her stories from a young player representing her state or her town, like she wasn't getting paid. So yeah, it's yeah. You're in such a growth period, yeah, right? And that's from broadcast, but fans and participation and all of that. Like you're in kind of a, it's not a golden age, but it's certainly just such a growth like.
And you
area.
Can just see it only going yeah. back up from
yeah,
here.
Yeah,
which is nice.
Definitely.
And the opportunities are growing.
Yeah.
Right. Sorry, that was not really a question and more of a statement
no,
by me.
Good point.
Yeah. It's like there's a lot of opportunities and ideally you girls put the game in a better spot than where it is right now in the end of your careers, which will be a long way away. Now, Sue Stacey, is that am I getting that? Yeah.
That is correct.
Yeah.
She was a huge influence on.
Who's Sue Stacey?
So she runs Swan District's Netball Association.
So she is Swan District.
Yes, she is very much. That's her. That's all her. Great. But she runs Swan District's Netball Association.
She saw you as a young
talent. So I had a school carnival and went over there to play in the carnival and she like came up to me and was like, oh, I think you should play in one of my teams. Like come down on Saturday and you can like try it out playing my team. And she's actually the one that got me into like netball because – I picked it just for fun because I was like, oh, there's no basketball. Like, I might give netball a try. And she was like, I think you could actually be really good at this. Like, come down. We'll practice. We'll get you to play. You can meet the girls and stuff and then see where it goes from there. And then just from that point on, she's just helped me so much along my journey. It wasn't only just like her selecting me. She also helped with training runs, so getting me to training and stuff. She not only helped me, but also my sisters. So helped Ruth and Rose, my older sister. And she used to drive us like every training session, pretty wow. much drive us there, drive us home. It might be like an early morning and she would be like, yeah, I'll take you. Like she would be sleeping in her car while she waits for us to quickly get over and done with training, or she'd be reading her book. But like she put so much time and effort into us. And I think if it wasn't for her, really, we probably wouldn't be where we are with our netball career. Cause I think you always need help along the way. She was a big, big help.
Sounds like she had a lot of belief in you.
She did, which is something that she says a lot, even like now. She's like, they were great girls and you could just see that, like, she was like, you're always happy to help people that are so kind. And she always says we're humble as well. And she's like, they just put, like, I don't even know how to describe it, but she was just like, they put so much time and effort into it and they were always such good girls that she was more than happy to help us. So, yeah, we were super lucky to have someone like Sue around.
Well, and your parents, right? So just like, again, like, so your upbringing and what your parents
exactly,
told you,
and yeah.
then combine
and then
that
Sue.
With Sue's belief.
And yes. And it. Sue was really great with understanding like our circumstances and stuff. And especially with my parents, like moving to Australia, they kind of had this guilt of leaving family and now coming for a better life. So they spent a lot of time working, trying to fund people back home, support them as well. So Sue was like, I'll take the responsibility of getting these girls to training, which was great. So
shout out Sue.
Yeah, love Sue.
Does she come to games now?
She does. She comes. Yeah. She's got her.
Oh, I can't wait to meet her.
Front membership.
Sounds like a legend.
Love her. Yeah. She was honest. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like we need to chat to Sue. What
yeah.
a legend.
Yeah. Oh, next time you might need to get me to Sue.
You could run your own podcast. Yeah. Here yeah. and the girls.
She'd be
and
a
the
big
sisters.
Chatter.
She's a huge yeah. chatter. Yeah. Yeah.
Fran, how do you become a defender? If it's anything like footy, everyone starts as a forward, kicking goals, shooting goals yeah. for you girls. Is that the same? Like how? Just me watching the game, and I don't know enough, but I think I do, that like it's a very different mindset being a defender versus goal shooter, and that's across all sports, right?
Yeah.
Tackers in soccer or whatever you're playing. How do you become a defender? Is it are you physically more built for a defender, or is it more mental? I'm asking, is it more mental or physical being a defender?
I reckon it's mental. Mm. I think you've got to have that. Personally, I think defenders are often some of the most competitive on the court. Prepared to do a lot of unseen work and not get the reward for it. And also you're playing most of the game without the ball often. So it's actually yeah. kind of a completely different headspace, I guess, to be in. about how you're kind of going to outwit your opponent. You've got to be quite tactical, I think. And yeah, prepare to just work hard. It's yeah. a hard slog back there because, you know, in the way that the game is now, that there's not that much turnover. No. So the little wins that you get, you have to celebrate. So you've got to be okay with that. Whereas shooters, every time they score a goal, every
That's
few 30 seconds, they're celebrating. We get our one or two intercepts a game yeah. and they're your moments that you have to cherish.
Yeah, so. What is that number to get a little bit technical? Because, yeah, watching the game, I did notice that it's like, You might get, I don't know, what's the number that's a good game for you guys? Is it like two or three? Like, is that if you can stop two or three and have like a big intercept, would that be a good game numbers wise? Like intercepts, knockdowns, I don't know.
Like for us, we look at it more gains, like defensive impact. Right. So I think like if we hit our target, which is, what is it like?
I don't know, maybe like trying to get upwards of like 16, 17 gains.
Yeah, so if we hit those gains, then we're like, that was a good defensive effort. Like we've hit our targets.
And like, what would the total like sort of attacking plays be? Like 100, maybe more? Like if you're talking about 16 defensive gains, like that's in total a pretty small percentage, right?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like it's not like 50-50 every time it comes in. No. Like you might stop at every one and every two. Like it's like one
like
in every 10.
70-30.
Yeah, there you
like
go.
Attackers on 70 and we're on 30. But we're happy. If we hit that 30 or above it, that's great.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's unique that like you have so little opportunity, the game, the way the game's set up.
It's an attacking game pretty much.
Yeah, exactly right. So like that's why it's unrewarded like to a point. Do you like that? Do you enjoy that it's hard? Like it's hard to be a defender.
Yeah, I enjoy that.
I like working behind the scenes as well.
I'm just getting on with the grind. Yeah. And also I think there's a real team element to defense of you work as a unit. In a different way that attackers want to get on the ball. And obviously they are working together, but I think in defense it's different. Communication has to be so high. You're setting stuff up for each other all the time. You're maybe switching players. So I really feel like connected when you're in defense, when it's going well.
If I'm watching as a fan, are those some things I can see, or is a lot of it like a bit of a wink, a nudge? You two would just know. Like, if I'm
sometimes
just,
it's instinctual. When we're in our groove, it is just so natural.
But then also you can see it because after it's happened, we're like, oh, like that was so close. Yeah. And just like,
let's just do that every time. Why would we do that every time?
No, definitely.
So you girls have just started working together, really, though, and you've been opponents at international level, opposite ends, obviously, both defenders. What's that been like, sort of growing a bit of a connection between the two of you?
Do you know, I'm so happy that I'm on the opposite end. Like, I don't have to play on her.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. I think Fran reminds me so much, like, of myself on court and stuff. I think we both see, like, when something happens, we're like,
In the first 2 weeks, we kept bumping into each other and getting the same intercept. Yes. And we were like, oh, but we're both seeing the exact same thing.
Yeah, so
we're like, one of us needs to go. We're going to have to up our communication. Yeah. But I think we read the game the same.
When you came in the door, I was sitting here and I just heard the, like, knock, 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 someone answered. And at the exact same time, you were both, hello. Like, identical. So it's interesting, though, because you would have known that before. You're on the same team together.
No.
And I guess we kind of both did start to integrate into our international sides at similar.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Times.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd say like international-wise, we've got similar experience and things like that. You've maybe got a few more gold medals.
So.
yeah, but you've got a gold medal.
Actually, I'll take the gold medals.
Flexing over this.
Yeah, I should have brought them. Hey, so, around my neck.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. we hang them up at the back here.
At the back.
So let's talk about that.
We have had a few finals against each other recently.
Representing your country is special, like no matter how, any way you put it. So Fran, talk to me about representing through juniors, because I know you did that. You captained your country through juniors. Are you captain now of the senior team?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Okay. So talk to me about that, because that is just unbelievable.
Yeah. I think, you know, coming through juniors, I probably got in a little bit later than some other people that were my age. And I just had been picked up to play for England under 17, just playing for my regional side. And so I hadn't gone through any official trial. They were like, do you want to just come along for a taste camp? We think you're playing really well. And then that's how I got in to start with, and then made my way through the age groups. And then got to captain at under 21 at the World Youth Cup, and then transitioned into senior side and have been kind of around the senior setup now for 5 years. But my journey within the Roses squad has been like up and down. So I got into the World Cup team in 2019. Yep. So 4 years ago, when I was really young, I was 21. I was such a baby of the squad.
Bronze medal there
at a home World Cup. It was incredible. I was, you know, Serena Guthrie was our captain, Joe Harton, Jeeva Mentor, like these people that I'd grown up watching play. And then I was in the team as a 21-year-old, just so excited to be there. And then kind of, I didn't make the 2022 Commonwealth Games side. And I think I'd been involved in every squad in that four-year cycle, but then didn't make the one squad that really matters for a major tournament. And that cut really deep. And I think I was shocked, even though I could kind of sense it was happening throughout the year that I probably wouldn't make the team. It still hurt more than I thought it was going to hurt for kind of knowing it could be on the cards. And it gave me that real motivation to come back and get myself involved for the World Cup in 2023. And then in the last 3-4 months, I've been lucky enough to captain the side for the last two tours, and like loved that honor. And it's such an easy team to captain because the girls are so great at home and just get on and do their job and make the culture so good within our England environment. But yeah, a real honor to lead the side.
That must be I mean, that's a big turnaround in 24 months.
Yeah, 12 months.
Sorry, 12 months. Yeah. Not in the squad, left out. Must have been brutal to be left out of something that, you know, you're there to do that. Thank you, Indy.
Thanks.
And then to be back in the side and then captaining the country now. Like, I mean, you must have used that disappointment to motivate significantly. Like, that must have been a huge driver for you.
And I think
still is.
Yeah. And the realization kind of hit with how much I wanted to be there and how much I was going to work hard to get myself back in that team when I went to watch the girls at the Commonwealth Games, because it was in Birmingham. And so it was a home games. And I remember being in the stands and like seeing them in the huddles, seeing them come out to warm up. They'd just won a really good like pool game that I was watching. And then I could hear them all like cheering, going back into the changing rooms. And I think, oh, because I'd been around the setup for the last 4 or 5 years, I know what that feeling's like to be a part of those special moments. And when you're in a squad and you've got that camaraderie and you're working towards something really exciting, like I just felt, I know what they'll all be feeling and I want that feeling and to be a part of it. And you do feel like you're missing out. So yeah, that FOMO really kicked in and I was like, I'm going to work so hard. And I think particularly within my club environment, so like shout out to my coaches, Vic and Liv within Loughborough Lightning, who really worked with me that year to give me the best possible chance in my Super League season to show that I was then ready to go and be a part of that international side come the World Cup.
With hindsight, do you think it was a positive thing? I know at the time it would have been difficult, but now...
Yeah, because actually when I look back, the growth in my game within that year probably meant that I went to that World Cup then the year after really ready for that level. And I felt like I was able to really contribute and add in how I played. So I think I went as a better player and was ready. And then, you know, maybe if I hadn't have had that season or had those opportunities at World Cup and played the way I did, I wouldn't be sat on this sofa now in Perth with the opportunity to play professionally in the SSN, because that year got my game to another level that's got me here, I guess.
Mm, that's cool. Mm. I'll come back on England, right? Australia. We'll come back on the roses. Don't worry.
Must be easy just winning all the time.
No, I'm going to come back and ask about that because
someone's a little sleepy over there.
So Sunday talked to us about representing your country for the first time, representing Australia, first African-born lady to do so.
Yes.
In history.
Yeah, so did not expect it at all. I think when I still think about it to this day, I'm just like, wow, as if I was selected. And also being the first African-born to represent Australia in netball was like, what the heck? How is that like?
Crazy.
Yeah, how is that a thing? But
you're a trailblazer.
Yeah, I was just like, wow. But for me, like my journey through the Diamonds has been such a great one. I've been super lucky to have so many amazing women around me, women that I looked up to when I was in junior programs, and then to be able to play alongside them. And I think they've just taken me along this journey and I think helped build me into the player in person I am now. I think with any journey that I take throughout my netball career, like I feel like at that time in that period, like I'm learning so much from the people around me. So no, I was super lucky to have those group of girls around. I had Courtney, who did such a good job at making me feel comfortable within the environment. She was always there whenever I needed anyone to like holler at. So super lucky to have that. And then I think just the whole way through to even now, I think my first year being in that squad, COVID was a thing. So we were supposed to play a series, but that didn't end up happening.
That's when you joined Fever during the COVID hubs, right?
Yeah, so COVID hub is when I first played and with like I was in the squad. So they took away 12 players when they were only supposed to, no, they took away 12 and they were supposed to have 10. So I was lucky enough to be in the team of 12 and got to sit on the bench week in, week out, got to play some netball. There was a bit of talk about potentially being in Diamonds, but it didn't happen that year. And then the year after continued on, I felt like I was going on a like upward journey, and then was lucky to be selected in the team. And I think a lot of my journey, especially with the Diamond stuff, has like, I think it's most journeys are like a slow upwards one where it was like that 12 COVID and then like straight into like Diamonds and stuff and then going to Comm Games and then going to World Cup. And I don't think that was anything on my cards or on my radar for in the next 2 years to happen. So, no, it's been a crazy, 4 years, I think.
Life?
Yeah, crazy, crazy couple of years with my journey and how quickly it's just reached the level that it's at now. And yeah, still can't believe it to this day. Still think like how lucky I am to be in that Diamonds environment and how one decision or one chance can really just switch up your whole career. So yeah.
That's a good observation. What was it like ringing mum and dad for the first time to tell them that you were playing for Australia?
So I actually didn't tell them straight away. I held off only because my parents are very, they don't know how to keep secrets very well. So it would have got to every, and the thing is they said, oh, like keep this like to yourself when they gave me that call. They're like, keep it to yourself. Like try not to get it out. Like it would be press release. And it's my first time. So I thought when they said keep it to yourself, it was like keep it to myself. And I was like, I can't even tell my parents because like I might get in trouble because people are going to find out. So I was like,
don't tell me they found out through like the press
release. No. I ended up telling them just before it got released. Yeah,
you drive into the press conference and say, mum and dad playing for Australia.
Yeah. No, yeah, they found out like just before. Because I was like, oh, well, if they know now, they can't really spread it to too many people. It's going to come out anyways. So, yeah, but they were so like, my mum was like screaming like with joy. She was so happy. My dad was like, I knew you could do it. Like so happy for you. And I think, once again, like back to when we came to Australia, they just sat down and was like, wow, like look at the success that are coming our way for our daughter. So
yeah,
so they were very, very happy.
Do they come to a lot of your games? Do they get to see you play?
My mum is obsessed with like Fever games and stuff like that. At the start, they knew nothing about netball. So even junior level and stuff, they would come to games here and there, but still didn't really like, they didn't really get to know the game or anything like that. So, like, came to a Fever game and I was like, yeah, you're going to have to start learning the what's rules. Happening and stuff. Yeah, because she would just like watch and be like, okay, nice, 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 cheering. When everyone else is cheering, she would cheer. But like, no, now she's like a big netball fan. She knows everyone. She knows what's happening. And I'm like, oh, okay. That's she's come amazing. A long way.
Fran, what about you? Telling your parents you're playing for your country?
Yeah. But it was, for me, always finding out with things like World Cup, they often call you. And because I'm a W in the alphabet, I'm often the last call of the day because right. they say they're going to maybe do it in alphabetical order. And they tell you the time they're starting. So I'm thinking, oh, gosh, these calls are dragging.
Is that how they do it?
That would suck. I'm an A, so I'm the first one.
And
so
it's the same if you get, I don't know, if you get any emails, everything. So when they list a squad on any email, I'm often scrolling down to see if my name's at the bottom of the list. So I know automatically I never read the top. I just go down to, the, bottom and see if I'm there or not. So sometimes it can be a bit of a dragged out wait. But then, yeah, the excitement of telling my parents, oh my gosh. And sometimes I'm like so overcome with emotion, I'm crying. Yeah. So I FaceTime them and I'm like got tears. And so they don't know straight away if I'm like happy crying or sad crying. So yeah, they never know which way to assume.
Will they come over to see a player?
Yeah, I think they're going to come over towards the end of the season.
Nice.
And yeah, come watch those last few rounds.
The season kicks off April 13th against the Giants, GWS Giants, and your first home game against the Sunshine Coast Lightning, 21st of April. So make sure you go and check out tickets at racarena.com.au. Talk to me about the gold medals, Commonwealth Games, World Cup, Sunday.
Sorry, it's all right.
It's all right. We can come back at her, friend. Don't worry. Can't win them all. So
no,
you
no,
may as
you
well,
can't.
May as well be
true.
Happy about the
happy
ones you do
what
win.
What we've got.
Correct.
The Commonwealth Games, just going and experiencing that was such like a wow. Like I was like, oh my goodness, like this is crazy. The whole setup, the layout, just the professionalism to it all. And I think at that time I was only 21, so fresh on the scene as well. And just to be in that environment, and I think I got to know the people around me so well, get to know the teammates so well. So winning that gold medal was like the most unreal feeling I've ever like felt. Like I was so happy, like, and I think just to look across and just see the smiles and the joy and the happiness on everyone on the team's face just like made me like I don't even know what to say. Even to this day, I still can't explain it well, emotion.
Is that when the game finishes or is that on the dice? Like when's the moment that you're talking about? Is there
the moment was like, I think it would have been a minute to go and we would have been like up by a good chunk where it's like.
Who are you playing?
We were playing Jamaica.
Right.
Yep.
So Janelle?
Was it close?
I think ended up winning by like 5 or 6 or something like that. Okay. Like,
so with a minute to go, you're like, they can't come back here.
I think 5 or 6 of a minute to go, you're all right.
Yeah, but it was kind of like a look to the side, look what everyone else is doing. And then I was like, okay, I can start smiling now. And then just like everyone standing up like along the rails, like getting ready to like jump over. But it's like we can't jump yet, but like half a leg over. And then as soon as this like siren goes, like the game's over, you just like run and you just – it's such like a sick feeling and, yeah, one that will stick with me for the rest of my life.
That's giving me a little chill.
Yeah, sorry, I'm like.
No, that's good.
No, that's me too. I can't keep my hands.
No, like, no, I'm sorry. It's giving me like little goosebumps thinking about that, like how cool that must be.
It's so, yeah. It's so sick.
Right, so England, don't have the gold medal.
Don't have a gold medal.
That's fine. When are we taking the Aussies down?
2027
nice.
On the home ground in Sydney
nice.
For the next
I'll
World Cup.
I'll let Stacey Marinkovic know. Because
we're ready to go now.
No, like Australia have been a successful side and you talk about the league here, it's looked at as the number one in the world.
Yeah.
Right? So, and that's why Australia's been successful. Yeah. So every other country's chasing.
Yeah, and we're having our wins along the way. So for example, us being involved in the final last summer in Cape Town at the World Cup, that was huge because no English team had ever played in a World Cup final till that point. So, you know, and then even recently, just in January, we were in the final in Nations Cup. So beating New Zealand in semi-finals consistently at the moment, which is like a good place for us to be sitting, knowing that we can do that. But I mean, international netball is just so tight Jamaica, I South like Africa, Uganda. Everyone is just up another level.
Yeah, the standards
have the
really just like jumped to another level in the last like couple of years, which is so good to see. So
yeah, it's just getting so competitive at that top end within international netball, and it makes it exciting. And you know, the Diamonds have set the standard with consistently winning, but I think, you know, the way that other teams are challenging and pushing at the moment, that will start to turn, and
the gap's closing.
The gap is closing.
Cape Town, that final you made.
Yeah.
Does being in that, how do you feel about that? Is it like a great moment given like it's a huge step, but it is also a driver?
100%. Like I came away with so much fire in the belly. Like I just want to play that game again. And you know, we didn't have our best performance at all in the final. We had not enough left to give on that final day. And you know, I actually look back and you think you don't want that to be your last game. And so I guess it gives you that motivation that you're going to be better next time. And what it takes to win a final is very different to a semi-final or getting through pool stages. Like we beat the Diamonds in the pool stage, but that means nothing. We beat them by one goal, and then they go and beat us by 16 goals. I remember the number.
No one's counting.
Yeah, no, other than me.
Except the defenders.
I forgot the number.
It still hurts. But no, so I think I'm just like, it's given me a new level to want to hit, I guess, and motivation to do that with the team.
Yeah, I like it. Very good. Now let's talk about the Fever a little bit. Your coach, Dan Ryan. Is this your first time under Dan, or have you had other experience when he was back in England coaching?
So yeah, it's my first time directly under Dan. Yep. He's coached me a little bit back in the UK, but I was never a part of one of his Super League squads. Right. But Sarah Frances Bayman, our assistant coach, she coached me for a bit at Loughborough Lightning. Cool. So yeah, I do feel familiar with the coaching.
Righto, we're back. Had some technical difficulties. We've cleared that up. We had the girls pretty much out the door, but they're back. Thank you for sticking around, girls. Now, we're going to finish this one off. I want to ask you about Dan Ryan, playing under Dan Sunday. You've played under him for a little bit. Fran, you haven't before, have you? So Dan Ryan, netball coach, netball player, Australian netball legend, won the Price is Right. I showed you girls this footage. Tell me what you picked up there. What was he doing after he celebrated?
I think his celebration's still the same. What,
from 19-year-old dad
to now, still the jumps in the arm,
fist pump. Yeah.
He rolled that out like 10 times. Like he did it when he got called up. He did it when he won the small thing. He won it, won the major prize.
He probably does it 10 times during the day. Probably something good happens.
Should he roll something new out? Could that maybe be something you take back to the club and be like, look, Dan, we've had a look at the vision. Like maybe, you know,
change it up.
Yeah, you girls would be doing like team vision on looking at opposition. Could you maybe take that into him and say, look, we've looked at the vision and maybe you need to change.
We think you need to switch up. Yeah, switch up your celebration. Right. Something new this year.
We have permission. You can use our footage. That'd be great. I want to ask a more serious question though about Dan. What sort of coach is he? What drives him?
Oh, I think Dan is a great coach. He has so much netball knowledge that you don't even realize he has until he starts. Like you can even see him just watching him. You can see him thinking and like trying to put the pieces together and stuff. And also with Dan, he does set such high standards for the group. And I think when it is also like a new team, you do need those standards to be set so everyone is around it and aware of it. So yeah, but Dan has been a great coach. I think we've really been enjoying having him around for the last couple of years, which has been nice. But yeah.
I think he's super organized as well. That's very. With the standards comes the organization, like color coordinated dots, cones, everyone symmetrically lined up for their skills and drills on the court.
Yeah.
Like if there's three people on one side, there's three on the other. So
he's always onto it as well with whatever he.
Yeah, everything's ready to go.
Ready to go.
I think all coaches, no matter what sport, have a little bit of OCD in them.
They
all have it.
Dan, 100%.
Yep. Different levels. Definitely. Maybe sounds like Dan might be higher on the spectrum, but most have it. He sounds like a details or like a small things, like little things matter.
Yes, little things definitely matter a lot.
And then how does that translate on the court? Like that. That he's driving that at training to make sure on the court you get one moment, one opportunity.
And like we have those little things as central in our training environment, and they're the things that are going to matter when it comes to game time within the league, because this league is closer than like ever, so competitive. No team's a banker. Every day you have to be on it. So those little things will be even more important when you're in the balance of goal for goal games.
Tell me about playing at home in front of the Green Army Sunday. What's it like? I want to know the feeling.
Yeah, the feeling playing at home is always so exciting. You always look forward to running out and seeing everyone in the green and cheering and screaming. I think the whole setup for our home games is amazing, and we've got such amazing staff as well that help to make it happen. So we are very lucky, and I'm so excited for Fran and the other three players, to experience it, because it's a feeling like no other.
What are defenders? Can you hear? I don't know. Can you hear it? Like, can you?
Yeah, I can like see it and hear it, just the way that they act and behave, and it's just so nice and loud, and they're constantly cheering. And I think compared to other states as well, we do have the best fans, so it makes it even better. And when you go to another state, you see what it's like then, and you come home and it's like, oh.
Is that exciting, Fran?
Oh, I'm so excited. I think when I was telling people about coming to West Coast Fever, it was one of the first things that other netballers said is, oh, playing REC is amazing, because I don't think it'll be that great for if you're an away team coming to play there, because the support is so, so strong for their home team. The Green Army are meant to be the most passionate. I can't wait to hear how loud they are. But not even just that, like how exciting it is to be in the crowd and a part of like that game day feel, and they put on such a show.
My first netball game I ever came to was your winning grand final. Did you play in that?
Yes, I did.
Right. That was amazing.
It was crazy. It was hectic.
It was at home.
Yeah, the whole arena was like green, nothing but green. And I think we like pretty much sold out all the tickets within like a couple of hours, which is so great because we've got some of the best fans in Australia.
Yeah.
But it was such a crazy and hectic experience. Like
you might have seen this at halftime, that or maybe pre-game, they were like, they had like fire machines, and it was like
it was hot though. The furnace.
It was like, I was on the stairs. I was like, what are the girls playing? Yeah. Like, and the noise was just different to what I've ever sort of experienced at a sporting experience. Like it was constant. There wasn't a lot of ups and downs. No. It was just like a level of noise that was high.
And I feel like they definitely ride the waves with us. Like they're pretty much playing the game with us the whole time. So
now, I want season predictions 2024 from you two. This is your opportunity to say something on the podcast that can put you in oracle status, that basically you can just be the fortune tellers, right? Right now. In April, what's going to happen this year? And when I speak to you at the end of the season, what am I speaking to you as?
You'll be speaking to us as premiership winners.
Yes, great.
Yeah, that is the goal, and that will be achieved. And I reckon it's going to be a 3-goal win over the Swifts, revenge from your last season against
for
them.
Sure.
So you're
going to get them back for beating us by 1 goal.
So you're putting a margin and an opponent. I like that,
and for me, that's bragging rights over Helen Housby as well home. So
I like that. Okay, we're clipping that up for social media right now. We're sending it to the Swifts right now. Okay, now girls, Will Schofield. Yeah, please don't. Last name Schofield. So not social media, social media. Impressed?
Very impressive.
Yeah. Very, very good.
Yeah. Least impressed person.
That must have taken hours.
Very impressive. Yeah. Now, please. All right, so this is for the people. This is where the people get to ask you girls the questions. You've heard enough from me. I'm going to get straight into it. Ginger Jesus 97. So this is for – that's the name. This is for you, Sunday. Do you miss playing for the Illusions?
Yeah,
who are the Illusions?
The Illusions is my junior club program. That's actually the first time I ever played for.
Oh, great.
Yep. Actually had a
– this is in Midvale?
Midvale, yep. Swan District Netball Association. Nice. So actually put me in that team. We wore yellow and blue.
Yes.
Eagles colours, which are the team I go for.
Brilliant.
Unfortunately.
So that's your team.
But
sorry. Not unfortunately.
at this moment.
They
at
won
this
a flag,
moment
they won
in time.
A flag 5 years ago.
Right now, but – back then, I was very proud of it and happy.
The amount of people when they say they're an Eagles fan and then go on about the fact that they won.
Yeah, I know.
It was like, oh, really?
Friends picked that up within 9 weeks.
Yeah.
In this state, that's literally Eagles fans. Like,
Broken records.
I definitely do miss playing for them. Yes. I guess that is where I first learned how to play netball, and they were the ones that got me to love the sport.
Do you get to go back there at all? Like, do you get to like?
Yeah, I do go back there every now and then. I actually did some filming stuff there not too long ago with Sue Stacey.
Nice.
We did a little bit of a little piece together. So yeah, it was nice going back and seeing. It's like been upgraded. Yes. But since the last time I've gone there, they've got like sheltered benches that they can sit at and stuff. So
great.
But yeah.
Who's your AFL team, Fran? Do you have one yet?
Well, obviously going to go for a WA side. Yes. And I think I'm just going to have to go for Freo Dockers.
Freo Dockers.
I'm going for the win.
Yeah, that's great.
And they're doing very well. And, you know, I have just arrived and now supporting them. So maybe I'm the lucky charm. I don't know.
Well, you could say that they've never lost with you as a supporter
exactly.
right at this moment.
Yeah.
They're undefeated.
Yeah. Fran Williams. I kind of hope they lose. Then Fran isn't there.
I don't know who the number one ticket holder is, but like maybe we should be putting a case forward for Fran Williams.
Yeah.
What do you think?
100%. And when they're at finals, I'm going to be there.
So fighting with them.
My Eagles. My Freo.
She just said her Eagle scarf. She.
I'm not authentic.
You mean the Dockers.
She's not a true fan if she can't.
We've got it lined up here right then. I've got the West Coast scarf behind Sunday.
I like the colour purple as well.
We've got the Fremantle scarf behind you, Fran. We need a West Coast Fever scarf.
You do.
Do you think we can
We'll get onto that. We'll get onto that.
Very good. A couple more from Taz Pratt for Fran. What's been the biggest adjustment to moving to Australia?
Well, definitely in those first few weeks, the heat, arrived in the middle of that heat wave, 40 degrees every day, and then having to train. I think aircon was my biggest.
In the bill, biggest expense.
Yeah.
Not petrol, air conditioning.
And then I would say just probably like around the timings of the day. Everyone here gets up really early compared to what I'm used to at
home. I've heard this.
Yeah. I think, you know, but you go to bed so early. I think people are eating dinner at 5 p.m., 4 p.m., starting to cook.
4 p.m. is a bit too early.
No one's doing that. I've got two kids.
You're in bed at like 8, 9, because you all get up at 5, 6 a.m. and go on your walks
dinner.
And swimming.
No one's having a 4 p.m.
No.
I was like, oh, I don't normally never eat heard of that before. 7, 8. I don't know. Maybe it's just too
early. It is early and people and
yeah, it definitely
shut
is different
here.
Timings. Yeah, and places shut. Exactly.
I'm from over east and definitely I go to like a restaurant or a bar here and it's like, getting towards 8 o'clock and I'm like, oh, geez, I wonder if the kitchen's going to be open.
Yeah.
You have to ask every time.
And you can't get coffee past 2 p.m. here as well. That's annoying.
Totally, because you probably shouldn't be drinking coffee past 2 p.m.
When we've got 4:30 training, I'm like, where's that coffee in the afternoon?
That's a good point. And what about this one? What's the biggest difference between SSN and Vitality Netball League? So that's Australia v England, right?
Yeah. I think it's just, I mean, that professionalism. Like, obviously, this is a professional league over here and it's still semi-professional, our Super League back at home. But I think then also with that is the setup that you guys have behind the Fever side here at the whole Netball WA and the West Coast Fever office, the amount of staff making sure that that team is high performing on court.
Yes.
And those small little things make a huge difference. So yeah, the setup more than anything.
Then the support, right?
Like, yeah, yeah. Like I remember in my first week, the amount of different staff that I met and they all had these different roles. And I was like, these are roles that we don't even have in our club. Like this is amazing. So yeah.
Must be great to be in like a
yeah,
set up like that.
Yeah, exactly. And it just allows you as players to just focus on doing your job to the best of your ability and just focusing on the training and working
playing
as
netball.
Hard as you can. Exactly.
Right. Not having to like sell sponsorship and then, do your own taping. Seriously, like having it like, yeah. I'm not saying that's what you're doing back in England, but you get my point. MWISH 75 was such a change to the Fever team and how has that affected culture and connection within the squad? Maybe that's your
I don't think it's affected culture in any way. I think Dan is a big driver of our culture. So I think he still just keep pushing with that and focusing on how he can bring everyone together and be able to connect the new people into what our culture is, what our plan is, what we're striving for. And I think with the connection side of it, I think being in a new team and having new people join, we're kind of forced into building that connection, which has been really nice. I think once you're with a team for a longer period of time, you do get a bit lazy in certain aspects. So I think it's nice that we're seeing each other outside of netball, catching up, just doing stuff that we probably haven't seen as much of in the last couple of years. So
off the back of COVID and then, you know, the standard side too, like having new faces in the group who bring, you know, different, you know, things they've seen as well.
Yeah, and I think that is another thing as well, having new people, you do not only for myself, but I think others around you do step up in that aspect and you're bringing more voice, bringing more of a leadership role, which is something that you probably wouldn't have seen yourself do in the previous time. And I think with Katie and Fran, they are making me a bit more comfortable in that role as well. So, yeah.
Girls, well done. We've effectively doubled up the back end of that podcast. I love letting people know how this works here. We did do some of this and then we lost a bit of memory. So well done. We've doubled up there. But one thing that we were talking about when the cameras went off the first time, right, yes. Sunday. So Sunday, Ariang.
Yes. So the first time I let you, because people do struggle here and then.
I like to get people's names right. And yeah. So I asked you if I got it right. And you were like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, perfect. Yeah. I was like, let him feel happy about getting it right.
You were weird earlier. Yeah.
But it's
now
actually
we're comfortable
pronounced.
And we're friends.
Yes. Now that we're friends, I can actually tell you how it's properly said. So please. It's Ariang.
You got to roll the R.
Yeah, you do.
I don't think I can.
But there's
friend,
a story.
Fran can do it amazing.
We were all at dinner the other night and Sunday was teaching us how to say her name properly, and I just can't roll my R's at all, like at all. So I just couldn't get it, and I was really trying, and I was like, I'm
trying
what I'm
so hard.
I was like,
look on your face, like
the concentration, because I'm trying to connect my brain to my mouth to say this syllable that I just doesn't come out, which is why I was never good at languages at school.
If only we were, I don't know, in a room with cameras and microphones in front of us, that we could give you another opportunity to roll it out. Okay. So I'll try as well.
Yeah,
I can go first, even. Okay. I don't think I can do it. And you say that you have a laugh like at dinner the other night. I'm thinking the same thing right now, and I'm thinking about what I'm meant to do with my tongue.
Brain power.
I actually can't even speak.
Okay, I'll give you my go.
I'm gonna say it very slowly, okay, go. And then you guys go. Repeat after me. Okay, ready? Ariang.
Ariang.
Ariang. I sound like a.
Yours
I can't go. I can't do that.
I can really see you trying to roll your tongue when you were going to do it.
I feel like that's the best we're going to get
that
out
is
of this.
Fran is like,
I think that's almost better than how I did it the other night, to be honest.
Fran Williams, captain of the Roses. I hope you get a gold medal soon. I'm sure you will.
Thank
one
you.
Day, Sunday. You've got to give it to me correctly because I'm not going to be able to roll
Ariang.
It. There we go. Sunday Ariang. I can't do it. I'm sorry. girls, appreciate you coming in. It's been a really great chat. Thanks for doubling up the end as well.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
That's a big thank you to our sponsors, powering the podcast, Paywise, backchatpodcast.com.au. You can find all the good stff there. You can follow us on socials, backchat_girls. Make sure you're following along there. ID Athletic, Whippersnapper Whiskey, Shelter Brewing Co., Tab Touch, Mumba Digital, Leadable Precinct, VIP codes for patrons. You know what to do there too. Girls, we're done and dusted. That's all the sponsors. I'm out of breath. Thank you very much.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.